that's just not good protocol. But that, and I told him afterwards, and he kept saying, well, I know you're not ready, but I'm going to wait for you to get ready. And he did. He waited. And I feel bad that he waited as long as he did, because it took me, I'm obviously still just single, because I wasn't ready. It took me a long time to get there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't. It's hard to know when you're ready, and you know when you're not. And you should, you know, you can always tell someone, you know what, I'm not ready. I need a rebound guy. Just be willing to be that. You can do that.
Okay, Todd actually brings up a good point, though, right? He does.
There are two kinds of relationships. One is Susan Easton Black and George Durant, where their general authority and Susan Easton Black, and they just meet each other and get married, or Elder Oaks and his second wife, and they just get introduced and get married, or they have a rebound. There's only two scenarios. They're not people like, I'm ready to get to date, and then so I'm just going to start dating, and I'm ready, and nobody gets hurt. Because you either get married or you hurt somebody. That's only two outcomes of dating. Yep.
Okay, and a lot of us get hurt a lot.
I think the further you're on the grieving process, the more ready you are.
Okay, kind of just explain that a little bit.
Well, you're not ever completely done with it.
Correct.
But if you're still sobbing at the drop of the hat constantly, I think maybe you're not ready.
Yep. And speak up. So,
okay, yeah, no problem.
Great.
Sometimes we let that loneliness, that all those other emotions that we haven't fully come to terms with, drive that bus and end up in relationship or end up in divorce. And that's what we're talking about when you say we're not ready. You make a choice based upon a want that gets confused with a need, and we aren't. We don't step back and look, is this the right thing? Is it the right time? Or we don't take the time to figure it out, and dating takes time.
Yes, great wisdom.
But how do you know? I mean, how do you know without dating?
Jump into it.
You don't know until you date, right? How are you going to know what it feels like if you haven't dated anyone?
I think you can feel the vulnerability and the need for companionship and those things in yourself. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's something that I focus on a little bit more, so it stands out a little bit more to me. But I could tell the difference between when I was wanting.
Great comment. So let me just say, I call it my class, 2004, the people that lost their spouse when I lost mine, and we got together. In fact, that was kind of the precursor to all this stuff. We just started having dinner together, and there was about 18 or 20 of us. From the time that we all met till now, 50% of us have been divorced, and several of those are multiple remarriages. Somebody quoted a statistic in the older class. Can I call it the older class? I'm part of it, by the way. And it was 70% that they had heard somebody suggest that widows and widowers are at that level. So we need to be really careful. So I just wanted to bring that out. Question, you had one.
Not a question.
Okay,
it was a disagreement with
Todd. Oh, great. Go ahead.
Todd.
It's okay.
No, that's fine.
Well, this is not the class that we intended to come to. But since we're already here, my problem is I am old, and the guys who like me are 15, 20 years younger than me. And they said, age is just a number. And how could they take them serious, you know, when I'm as old as the grandma?
You have to tell them, you say, yeah, but you have the wrong number.
but you know, I'm enjoying it, you know. They're fun. Young guys are fun. They are so much fun to be with, but, and the secret is, I don't like old men. I mean, you're not old. I mean, I am old, and I don't want anybody older than me, because they cannot keep up with me. And right now, I'm just focusing on my training for my powerlifting, because I want to set that world record. And then after that, then I'm going to go on a mission. I know what I want, and until I find what I want, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy with how I am. I'm just a crazy old woman. So
you're happy about it.
Yes, I am.
She brings up a great point, Laura, finally to you. She did. Go, no, say it again, so spell it out.
I mean, they say like it takes 5 years or longer to become comfortable with the situation, like to have our life kind of be put back together, because it's traumatic to lose a spouse. So they said it's about 5 years. So I mean, if you're like at a year out or a year and a half, you're going to be doing a lot of changing within the next 4 years. So I mean, kind of ease the pressure off of finding somebody. I mean, you know.
So question here. Yeah, great point. I mean, one of the things that I think we're finding out here is all of us are individual, and you know what? We're going to grieve differently, all of us. And so you just kind of have to keep yourself in line there and figure out where you're at and roll with that. And secondly, we have to give ourselves permission that it's okay to fall in love again. And that's sometimes hard for people in the beginning to do that. You had your hand up, right?
Yeah, I always tell my teenagers, I'm like, well, my motto when I was younger was, why date one when you can date them all? And, you know, but you, I tell my teenagers all the time, I'm like, you know what? You can't, unless you taste strawberry and vanilla, you don't know what you like or what you want. I had my husband for 20 years and I loved him. What do I want now? What do I expect now? Well, if I don't get out there and enjoy the journey, I don't know what I want, what I expect. I'm used to one type of man, and he had amazing qualities, and there are other types out there. I don't know. For me right now, I am struggling with, I want a little bit of freedom, and I have somebody who doesn't want to necessarily give me that freedom. He says he does, kind of like what you were talking about, and I'm struggling with that because I'm not quite ready to dive into it yet, but I'm not, I don't know. Struggling.
Any advice?
You want to keep him on the hook.
I don't have advice for that. I had a different subject. So my subject question is, in the beginning you said any questions. Well, my question is, what I find disappointing and why I don't date a whole lot is because as I'm widowed and I'm sealed to my husband, that takes me out of a dating market because a lot of men, most men.
What other greater sacrifice is there for a man to give up that sacrifice of a supposed eternal marriage that we can't understand at this point to take care of a daughter or a woman?
James called that pure religion.
Right. I mean, it is a whole different level of, in fact, the man I'm dating right now.
I'm just saying it's so frustrating.
It is. The man I'm dating right now, our very first conversation was, I don't date divorced men because of this reason. And he said, I can understand that, and I said, for giving essentially an ultimate sacrifice of loving a woman through her whole life, and then not giving him the blessings of heaven or whatever it was, and he said, and I totally see that point too, and it does not bother me. So.
Well, okay, so my husband died 18 years ago, and then I got remarried, and I've just been divorced 2 years now. But one of the reasons he cited is he just could never bond me properly, despite a porn addiction and him cheating on me, that I was already sealed, and it bothered him the whole time, the whole 10 years we were married. And so I'm back there again. You know, I need to find somebody who has enough faith that will be willing to know that the Lord will work it out, and you know, who is okay with that, I just think that my ex did not have the faith to marry a widow who is already sealed. They have to have that faith to know that the Lord will work it out, and that's a whole other grieving. You know, it feels like you said, like you're someone who is not even in someone's dating pool because we're taken out of it, because that's what they've been taught since primary, is that they want to be sealed in the temple. Well, I think, like she said, that they will get such reward and blessings for marrying a widow, and and they will be compensated. And despite stake presidents and bishops telling him he will be compensated, he just could not get past that. And it's been a whole other grieving process all over again, and it's been extremely hard. And then on top of that, to kind of bring up another subject, the 2-to-1 ratio with the women to men, that is so hard. So I said to my mom, I'll probably end up marrying a non-member because they just aren't there. They're not available.
So I have run into this issue a lot, and so I just kind of let it come, you know? And I think ultimately, I mean, we can sit and say, oh, it's sacrifice, but he has to know for himself. And all of the men that I have gone through, if they have it, they'll either fill it or they won't. And if they fill it, they will seek, and he will get an answer. So, I mean, ultimately, I mean, just like a guy, you know, there are men out there. It just sometimes takes more time, but they are out there.
Well, it's like Laura was just, what she just said is correct. And in fact, Elder Monk, when he was here, because he's been asking me, I've talked to him on the phone a few times, and he reports to someone that reports to the general, you know, to the 12. And as he and I were talking about, I brought up this issue with him. I said, this is a huge issue with the widows, and they're struggling with this. And he's pondering it, but yesterday we were talking about it too, and he said, you know, he says, but would you want a man that doesn't have that kind of faith? He said, and I thought, you know what, no. And so, you know what, maybe we're being protected. I mean, I'm starting to look at it in a different light. Blessings are, we all know that they would be blessed. We know how God feels about widows. But unless that man knows that himself, it's not, we can tell him that all we want.
But
it's not going to change it.
That's what I was going to say, yes.
If they seek it out.
I think it's important for us as widows to be in a good place too, where we can stand back and say,
exactly,
you know, I am happy. Yes. I am happy with who I am. I am happy single. I have got my little group of friends that we stand together and we have so much fun together.
I guess, yes. You know, because somewhere there will be a man
who will desire this and who will go, who will have the faith. And man, if some guy is not worthy of that, he can move on.
No settling.
He is, yeah,
exactly.
There is
no
settling.
He said he was okay with it. He said he had the faith. He said he believed he would get compensated, all of that. But when it came down to it, he really didn't, and so...
Yeah, that's hard.
It manifested itself after we got married.
I wonder if he was just making an excuse for all of the other things
that
he mentioned. Well,
that's...
You need to say that.
Kind of his reason to get out.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. I didn't know about the Florida until 10 years in.
He was blaming his addiction on that.
It's a form of
blame.
He's not.
Okay, so Julia makes a great point, though, folks, and that is you have to go through this process not looking for a spouse or a mate, but looking to find joy in your life. Have fun and go enjoy and become and be who you are in spite of whatever else is going on in your life. Because if you're looking for a spouse on every date, you're going to be woefully disappointed a lot, because it's a numbers game.
And you press when they don't want you.
That's correct. Rejection is a big one. And so you can avoid all of that pain by simply just enjoying the journey and not getting caught up in getting remarried. That's key.
And it's actually better because you'll be healthier,
correct,
you know, than... Yep. You're not chasing something, it's inside you already.
It's going to find you.
Because for a good marriage to work anyway, you need that.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think, you know, two things too. You know, first of all, I know that you ladies have a problem with that, but believe it or not, ladies have a problem with widows too, for the same reason that they don't want to be a second wife in the eternities. Because women don't understand this doctrine either. And I think the reason is because men and women that are not widowed have never had the occasion to even think about this. And so I think part of our, I don't know, I say responsibility or opportunity maybe, is to bring it up and not to preach, but to educate and to maybe give them the opportunity to think about what the doctrine really is about eternal marriage. And, you know, we teach our children, but I never really taught my children what this doctrine is until I was widowed. But I do now. My kids understand that, you know, when we go and I do sealings at the temple, those sealings are just as valid as if they were sealed while they were alive. Well, what does that mean? That means that if I'm sealed again, that is just as valid as if it were my first marriage, or that's eternal, right? Eternal means eternal. Or if we're not sealed, and then my children seal us after we're both dead, that's the same as if we're sealed when we're married, because it's eternal. Eternal means for forward and backward. If we're sealed to, when I seal children to parents, it's as if they were born in the covenant. That's what that means. And so it's the same thing that you say, well, yeah, they don't understand that. Well, they never thought about it before, first of all. And so they're not going to arrive there in a flash. They're going to have to consider that and think about that. Just like Trent said, he goes, well, I'm not going to tell my 8-year-old this, and she's going to arrive there like that. First, she has to think about it and hear about it first, maybe, and then go, oh, yeah, well, maybe that they have to have something to ponder before they can ponder about it, because they've never thought about it, maybe, and then they can arrive there.
You know, if I may, I kind of stepped in on the middle of this one, so I'm not sure exactly where you'd all gone, but I remember a conference about 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, and I was so impressed with this young couple who had gotten married, and she was married before and lost her husband right away, just really young, and they didn't have any kids. And then she met her husband, and they got married, and they had kids together, and they weren't sealed, and he was okay with it. And I was so impressed with him, because the amount of faith that he would have to know that the kids that he was having with his wife, it was all going to work out. And I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to put it together, you know, trying to piece
think it.
We overthink it.
Exactly.
And you don't.
So all you can do is just prepare yourself and enjoy the journey, enjoy getting there, and enjoy the experience of learning different personality types and different, I don't know, make a joke out of these funny little online things that are, you know.
Laugh about it.
We're all kind of crazy in our right.
Oh, yes, and then let's hear.
Yeah, I like this quote. It says, happiness is like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you focus your attention to something else, it will come and sit softly on your shoulder. So the more you chase guys, the more they'll run away. Wait for them to come.
I like Susie. Isn't she awesome? Yeah, and you had a thought, too.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, you made a comment earlier that you know, we're at, in spite of everything that's happened behind us, and it kind of a different slant or a different way of thinking about that is, you know, we're here, and it's not in spite of what we've learned and what we lived through, but it's we're a product of everything that we've gone through, and we, you know, we understand at a whole different, which is the only one I have, I guess. You know, just like the loneliness, it seems like the guys are kind of, I mean, I'm kind of like the poster child of, you know, doing all, you know, I was going through the list of all the stuff they were listing. I was like, well, let me see. I was like her. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't apply to me, you know. And it's kind of broke that rule and that rule and that rule. And it's like, oh, well, here I am, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not an in spite of, but it's how many people can say that? Well, probably everybody in this room can, but there's a big group of people out there that can't say stuff like that. So, anyway, 2 cents put in.
Yeah.
Very well spent.
Okay.
From what I've heard, the stats are widowers get married in less than a year. And I haven't heard the stat on how many of those end up being divorced, or I don't know.
I tried to do research last year, and they don't keep the widower stuff when I went to the research records. So I couldn't tell you that. But it would be interesting to know the numbers on those.
I would say it's not.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm talking about the faith that the guys that would marry a widow
that, you know, it's okay. You know, it's really okay. If you're alone, it's okay. If you're dating, it's okay. Whatever happens, it's just okay. You can just
George not being okay with him stealing. And my kids were getting in the new member discussions because we haven't been that active, and they came up on the eternal families, and they were trying to explain it to them, and my 12-year-olds were loving it because my marriage first, I was still with my husband, and we got the divorce, and the sibling's still there, and my 10-year-old found out, sorry, it's hard on her, that she'll never be sold to her parents until she comes 13 because her mom died. I'm not going to church. And my 10-year-old in the middle of the missionary's discussion the next day, she goes, it's okay. And I was like, it's okay. She's like, yep, I got God and I got today. It's okay. Like, and it made me realize that that's all I need to worry about, is just getting through today. And it's going to be bad, and maybe the date won't go good, or maybe this guy's not going to want to marry me because I'm still before, or because I've got the 5 kids and this and that, but it's going to be okay. Bad, the date might be bad, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's a great motto for all of us.
Yeah, and two, I mean, I look at that, and, you know, there have been women that are like, oh, you're a widow. Then I look back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's like a way long list of reasons why women aren't going to marry me way before the fact that I'm a widow. That's like way. So that's the last thing I need to worry about right now. And that one I can't work on. You know, I need to work on the stuff I can do something about.
Walker would come and talk they've talked at many of our previous conferences, and they were the temple president and matron of the Salt Lake Temple, and they saying amen to all of it. Good job. It's true.
Yep, it is true. Questions?
Like, in navigating the age range that is out there, I'm looking at people who are divorced and all that, how do you guys help to figure out who you want, and how do you, like, you don't want to date somebody, how do you manage that in a kind way, or where you're, there's a lot of questions in there, but like, I know what I want and things like that, but as I'm getting out there and feel like I'm more, okay, this is what I want to do, like,
okay.
Oh, she has another quote. I want to hear Sosa's quote real quick.
It says, we are not given a good life or a bad life. We are given life. And it is up to us to make it good or bad.
I love this. You're going to write a book. You need to write a book. But just to maybe touch on your question a little bit there, too, with age, there's definitely a concern. I think I loved what she said about just being honest. Just be straight up with whoever you're on what you're looking for. You know, you can make great friends. You can meet wonderful people. You don't have to marry all of them. But just be honest, and hey, this is, you know, I dated someone who was about 15 years older than I was for a little while, and he was a wonderful guy, great voice, he sang in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but it was too much, and I couldn't do the age. I didn't want to be a widow again. I probably will, but in that point, I just told him, I said, I think we'll be better friends, and it worked out really well. But it's just honest. You just have to be honest.
Well, my kind of goes off hers a little bit. Because I feel like I finally maybe am in a place where I'm happy just being me. I don't find my happiness in someone else. I have a young son, and he's what my world is right now. And so I didn't really want to date for quite a while. But there are men out there. There really are men out there that are okay. The widow, especially when you're happy with yourself.
Yeah.
They'll find you.
And that touches on, are you ready? You know, do you have that space in your heart to bring someone else in? And it's okay. It's really okay. You'll know when you're ready. So beautiful.
Well, you know, just to touch on, what's your name?
Terry.
A serious question, you know, about how to be kind. I'll just say, as somebody who's been dumped kindly and unkindly, you know, many times. I'll say that if you're going to be kind, then I would say to, yes, it's great to be honest, but don't say things don't bring up things that, he can't do anything about. So even if it is an age thing, don't bring up the age. He can't do anything about that. So you can just say, no, thank you. I don't feel it. But because I've been told by a woman, I'm sorry, I can't do the age difference. And she was, it feels like an attack on them personally that they can't do anything about it. So if
you bring up something they can do something about, and that's really not what it's about, and then they try to fix it.
You know what? That's such a good point. It may not be the real issue. Kim? Yeah.
Then just say you don't feel it.
I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, there's. It may not always be the reason. You may not get good feedback from a relationship, and that happens. But if you know you're doing all you can,
still cut it off.
You can. You can.
It's better to cut it off and drag it on, or to say things that they think they could do something
sure.
about, but then it's not really it, because then they're like,
yeah.
Why is she dragging this on? Why is she lying to me?
Thank you so much, Chad.
Well, this is just getting me thinking about, you know, we have our likes and dislikes in different, you know, like somebody tall or somebody who's athletic or
yeah your
but,
list
yeah but yesterday when they were talking, was it Matt Townsend that was talking about being in the mind, being in the spirit, and being in the body? Should we be going for somebody that we want to be as, you know, close to as in what their spirit is?
Yeah,
so we shouldn't be judged. I mean, this is, I was just wondering how much of those physical characteristics are important to us, yeah. as opposed to what
the less you care. Yeah. Well, Carol, yeah.
There's no question.
That's beautiful, Carol. And that is so true. And I know we're short on time, so I'll let Kelly wrap up. But just to touch on what you just said, as you've experienced this kind of grief and sorrow in your life, and you've been introduced to it, it changes you. You see people different. You see people for who they are. And you love differently. You love deeper. And pretty soon, that hit list of things you wanted just doesn't matter anymore. It's not there because you're touching their spirit more than their self. So I love that. I think that's great. I think you'll find the one that's going to be the right one for you when you're ready, when your life is open and you're ready for it. So I'll let Kelly wrap up.
Well, we appreciate your comments. You guys have done really well today. It's been fun to hear your experiences. So just carry on. Do the best you can. Honestly, you'll figure it out. It's a tough road sometimes. There's a lot of heartaches, but it's a process, and you'll figure it out. I'm a ward missionary in my ward, actually the ward mission leader, and I teach the gospel principles class. And there's an old couple in there, probably in their 80s, both widow and widower, and they got married. And I love what the husband says to the wife when she gets up to go to Relief Society. She'll say something like, "I'll see you later," and his comment is, "Hurry." So sweet. Just touches me every time. Hurry back. And so I share that with you so that you can know you can find it again no matter where you're at. Give yourself time. Timing means so much. Just be patient. Allow God to work within you. Allow yourself to grow. This person, if it's meant to be, will be along. Just enjoy your life, because that's one of the biggest keys. Know we love you. We're so grateful for you. And thanks for being here today.